In this presentation, we'll begin our reflection on Paul's first letter to Timothy. In fact, we'll only cover the first two verses of chapter 1. Paul begins, "Paul, an apostle of the Messiah Jesus." Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "In the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, every one of God's promises is a yes." For 30 years, Paul has given his all to proclaim Jesus to all and sundry, to Jew and Gentile, in Galatia, Asia Minor, and Greece. It's been his assurance of the love of Jesus for him that has sustained him. And now, as the time of full communion approaches, he looks forward to the promise of life that is in the Messiah Jesus. It's this life that has been the subject of all his preaching and writing, for the gift of the Spirit is to draw us into the communion of love with God, which Jesus himself is experiencing. There's no other life worthy of the name. In this letter to Timothy, Paul speaks of it as a promise for both the present life and the life to come. Paul has lived in the Messiah Jesus. He looks forward to the fullness of the promise in the life to come. And so he begins, "Paul, an apostle of the Messiah Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of the Messiah Jesus our hope." Salvation is to be the major theme of this letter. There's a close connection between salvation and hope. Jesus is our hope. It's he who revealed to us God's will to draw us all into full communion of love in a life that transcends death, a communion which he himself is now enjoying. Furthermore, the communion which we now have with him is a pledge that we will one day join him in glory. We recall Paul's words to the community in Colossae. "God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is the Messiah in you, the hope of glory." In verse 2, "To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Messiah, Jesus our Lord." Grace, peace, and mercy. The customary Greek greeting was Kyrene. We find it in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul uses a similar sounding word, charis, grace, a greeting that reminds the Christian assembly of God's action in their lives in drawing them to share the life of the risen Jesus, a life of communion in love with his Father through the shared bond of the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer for Timothy is that he will continue to experience the graciousness of God, pouring out his love upon him. Mercy, eleos, is used to translate three different Hebrew words. The first is Hanan, which speaks of God's gracious care and all the ways in which God looks after us. Psalm 116, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So Eleos translates Hanan. It also translates Raham, which speaks of the tenderness of God's love. Isaiah chapter 63 reads, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favour to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his covenant love. And Lamentations, the covenant love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. The third Hebrew concept that Eleos translates is Chesed. There are innumerable texts in which Eleos translates Chesed, which places the focus on God's faithfulness to the commitment of love which he has made to us. I'll just give you a sample. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will not take my steadfast love from David. Exodus 20. I, the Lord your God, show steadfast love. Chesed in Hebrew, Eleos in Greek, to the thousandth generation. And again in Isaiah, with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. My steadfast love shall not depart from you. The customary Jewish greeting was Shalom, peace. Hence, Paul includes it here, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Messiah Jesus our Lord. Paul repeats this greeting here, for his prayer is that Timothy will experience the peace that is the fruit of grace, the fullness of life that happens when we contribute our gifts to others in harmonious communion. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Let's delay now for a while on that idea of God as Father. Firstly, the Father is the source of life. Jesus calls God Abba, for he knows that everything he is and everything he does has its source in God. In John 5 we read, just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. 1 Corinthians, for us there's one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. In Romans 4, God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. first letter of John, chapter 1. We declare to you, writes John, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we've seen it, and we testify to it, and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have communion with us. And truly, our communion is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the Messiah. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Jesus wants each of us to know that God is the source of all we are and all we do. In his culture, this is beautifully expressed in acknowledging God as Father. In the ancient world and in the medieval world, indeed right through to the beginning of the modern era, the role of the woman in conception was unknown. The father was thought to be the sole source of human life. They speak of it, the seed that the father sows. He's the sole source of human life. It was the mother's role, they thought, to nurture this life. It was not realized that she actually contributes to this life. Knowing this, it is insufficient for us today to acknowledge God as Father, beautiful, of course, as that is. We now know that the mother has a complementary and essential role in procreation. In fidelity to what Jesus revealed about God, we acknowledge God today as Father, Mother. So the Father is the source of life. Second, the Father acknowledges his children. Three little quotes here. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. In Psalm 68, Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. At the baptism of Jesus, we hear a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I'm well pleased. The Father acknowledging his son. Jesus revealed God as everyone's father. He wanted his disciples to love their enemies. And why? To be children of your Father in heaven. The risen Jesus commissioned Mary of Magdala to go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. A third aspect of fatherhood. Children are to submit to the father's authority. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Exodus 4, let my son go that he may worship me. And a number of quotes here from John's Gospel. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And again, Jesus saying, I do nothing on my own, but I speak these things as the Father instructed me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what is pleasing to him. A fourth aspect of fatherhood. The father educates his children. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so your God disciplines you. In Isaiah chapter 1, hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for God has spoken. I reared children, I brought them up, but they rebelled against me. And statements from Jesus in John's Gospel, my teaching is not mine, it's his who sent me. I declare to the world what I've heard from him. I declare what I've seen in the Father's presence. What I speak just as the Father has told me. The word that you hear is not mine, it's from the Father who sent me. And some very beautiful texts from the ancient testament about a father's feelings for his children. Psalm 103, as a father has compassion for his children, so God has compassion for us who revere God. God does not fail to remember that we are but dust. Hosea chapter 11. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. And two quotes now from Jeremiah, speaking of a father's feelings for us. I thought you'd call me my father. I thought you wouldn't turn from following me. Return, O faithless children. I will heal your faithfulness. And again, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he the child I delight in? As often as I speak against him, I still remember him, therefore I'm deeply moved for him. Surely I will have mercy on him, says God. Psalm 51, a prayer, be gracious to me, O God, according to your covenant love, according to your tender compassion. blot out my transgressions. Exodus 34, God tenderly compassionate and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in covenant love and faithfulness. And Jesus wants us to be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. A sixth aspect. We're all called to share the intimate communion with our Father that Jesus knew. Again, mostly from John. The Father knows me, and I know the Father, says Jesus. Jesus wanted all of us to be able to say with him, the Father and I are one. He enjoyed such intimate communion with God that he could say, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Jesus cried aloud, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to open their prayer with an acknowledgement of God as Father. Paul witnesses to the practice in the early Christian communities of addressing God as Jesus addressed God, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4, because you're children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. So Paul's greeting to Timothy is, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. And Paul adds, and the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. Lord translates the Greek kurios, which in turn translates the Hebrew Adonai. And Adonai was the word sounded when Yahweh was found in the Hebrew text. It's the name, Hashem, revealed by God to Moses in the scene of the burning bush. Exodus 3:1-7. The angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. And Yahweh, that is the Lord, said, I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their suffering, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. Verse 13 of Exodus 3, Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Or it could equally be translated, I will be who I will be. Eye asher eye. As it said earlier, Eye imak. I will be with you. And God said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am, Eye, has sent me to you. God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Eye frequently is translated, I will be. To Moses he said, I will be with you. To Isaac, I will be with you and will bless you. To Jacob, I will be with you. And Joshua, I will be with you. And Gideon, I will be with you. In a sense, you can't name God. To name is to kind of lock something away, pigeonhole it, identify it. God is beyond all that. So I think it's best to translate this here. God's name, inverted commas, is I will be. Like, trust me, Moses. You can't name me. But go. Do what I ask you, and you'll find that I will be with you. In Isaiah 7:14 we read, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Immanuel, the with us God. Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flames shall not consume you. Let's read from Paul now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And Titus chapter 2. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from our iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. In calling Jesus Kyrios, Lord, Paul is witnessing to a Christian practice that goes right back to the beginnings of the Christian movement. Christian Jews never wavered from strict monotheism, but their experience of Jesus during his life and after his resurrection meant that their understanding of God expanded to include Jesus. The early Christian practice of calling Jesus Lord witnesses to the fact that they were not content to admire the human Jesus while failing to see him as the revelation of God, failing to listen to or watch God being revealed in and through Jesus. The essence of Christianity is that in listening to Jesus and watching him, and in experiencing something of the intimacy of his prayer communion, of his spirit sharing with God, we're truly being drawn into communion with God. Again, Matthew 1:23. They'll call him Emmanuel. This is Jesus, which means God is with us. And the last words of Matthew's Gospel, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the with you God is Yahweh, redeeming people from Egypt, and in Jesus, redeeming people from anything that blocks their communion in peace with God, their father, mother, God. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, Paul writes, it wasn't I, it was the grace of God that is with me. In the prologue to John's Gospel, the last words read, no one's ever seen God. It's God's only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, who has made God known. Further from John, Jesus can say, the Father and I are one. Believe what I do, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak of my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you don't, then believe me because of the works themselves, because of what I'm doing. I'm no longer in the world, Jesus prays at the Last Supper, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And Father, the glory you gave me, I've given them. How extraordinary is that? I've given them so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So I conclude by just reading again the first two verses of Paul's first letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of the Messiah Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of the Messiah Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Messiah, Jesus our Lord.